Amen. See, you guys are still being a bit shy. I remember before the pandemic, we used to have to force everybody to come back in order. But now everyone is still a little bit shy, but amen. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all this morning as we gather here on this Sunday, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, to worship, praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good to have every one of you here this morning. I know it's a very dreary and rainy day, but indeed it's the day that the Lord has made, and we are thankful that we are able to be here to worship and to praise the name of our God. I want to welcome all of you here this morning, and especially welcome my good friends, Kirby Lawrence Hill, and his wonderful, beautiful wife, Nancy Lawrence Hill. Kirby has been here before. You might recognize him. He is formerly the pastor of the Abingdon Presbyterian Church, but he is now retired. But we give God thanks that he is in our midst and his wife is in our midst this morning. Thanks for being here. Just a couple of announcements to share with you all. Again, Vacation Bible School is coming up pretty quickly, Tuesday, July the 25th through Thursday, July the 27th. Again, get the word out. Get the round up some children if you have to. We always have a pretty good Vacation Bible School. Always have lots of children. It's a wonderful time. If you haven't been to our Vacation Bible School before, just you might want to come and just observe or to participate. If nothing else, join in the singing of the songs. It's always a wonderful opportunity just to fellowship and to see many of the young people. So again, that's going to be on July the 25th. Also, we will be having our movie night, which is going to be Movies Under the Stars. That's going to start on Friday, July the 21st, and then we'll have another one on July the 28th. So please bring you a blanket. Mark that down on your calendar and bring a blanket and a lawn chair and whatever else you need to prepare yourself for a wonderful night of fellowship under the stars. 8 o'clock, that's my fault. Okay, I told Donna that. She could question it, and I told her 7 p.m., but it's going to be 8 o'clock. Also, our community fest is also going to be Saturday on August the 26th. Again, a wonderful time to fellowship with each other and also with the community. There will be some good food, barbecue, hamburgers, hot dogs, and all the wonderful kind of games and the like that we had in our previous years, but that is going to be on Saturday, August the 26th. So again, plenty of opportunities this summer to fellowship and also to meet and greet neighbors and to just be the body of Christ here in the midst of this neighborhood and this community. There are other things, of course, going on here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin. Also go to our webpage so that you can stay abreast of all that is taking place here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning at verse 16 and reading through verse 19, and then picking up again at verse 25 and reading through verse 30. It's found on page 889 and 90 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The word of the Lord. Amen. Come to me, says Jesus in our text this morning, and I will give you rest. Isn't that what we are all ready for right about now? A little bit of rest. That's why I like this time of year, this summertime. In the summertime, the days are longer, hotter, hazier, and it's always a wonderful time to sort of relax a little bit, wonderful time to liberate ourselves from the daily grind, including all the daily grind of smartphones and internet and Zoom meetings. We all need a little bit of rest, and this is the time for that, the season for that, the season of rest. I know many of you have already started vacation. Many people are on vacation now. One of the things about the Facebook is you get to see people when they're on vacation. I always enjoy the vacation pictures that people post over Facebook. And again, I hope that this is a season of rest for many of you. The Bible takes the notion of rest quite seriously. In fact, in the Hebrew law, there's a word for it. It's called Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. And on the Sabbath, everyone and everything was called to rest because God rested. Indeed, I know we live in a society that celebrates busyness, including many of us pastors. We often like to cultivate our own busyness. We have our schedules and our meetings, our to-do list. And again, we like to cultivate the notion of being busy, and we are. But none of us should be so busy that we don't take the time to rest. None of us should be so busy that we don't take the time to replenish ourselves. And so again, I hope that you will take this time this summer to rest. But of course, the rest that Jesus is inviting us to this morning is something more than a temporary interruption of our busy routines and schedules. Something more than scheduling a couple of weeks at the shore or going to the Poconos. It's something more than the occasional nap we might take during the day. Howard's always accusing me of napping. But the rest that Jesus is inviting us to is a rest that only he can give. It's a deep and abiding rest from all that makes us worry, from all that burdens us and weighs us down, from all that oppresses us and beats us up. Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. I think we're all ready for that kind of rest as well. That deep refreshment of our souls, especially right now in this place, right now in our society. I think that's what we're ready for is some rest. I think many of us are tired. Many of us are tired of what we see around us. Many of us are tired from what we see coming over the media, social media, the news. Many of us are tired. What we want more than anything right now is rest. The kind of rest that can refresh our souls. Let's face it, many of us are burdened down Right now in our society, many people are burdened down in our society. People are burdened by all kinds of things in our society right now. There are many, many people, for instance, who are burdened down by their fears. Fear of others, fear of the future, fear of change. Fear for what might be going on in their lives, fear for their loved ones. They are fearful, a fear that often paralyzes and imprisons and prevents us from being the loving, gracious people that God created us to be. People are burdened by that. They are burdened by their fears. And there are people out there, of course, who are burdened by anger. Anger towards people who have hurt them or humiliated them or threatened them in some way. I was listening to a man the other day who was talking about how angry he had become. The more he stayed on social media listening to people who trafficked in anger and fear, the angrier he became until he began to realize how much it was weighing him down, how much it was affecting his relationships, how much it was burdening him. But so many people are burdened by that today, by anger. And that's what they need more than anything else. They need rest. Rest from their fears, rest from their anger. Some people are burdened by an incessant desire to live into other people's expectations. Expectations of what they think people want them to be like, what they want them to look like, what they want them to sound like, how they want them to act. And some people are burdened down by things that might on the outside look like blessings, position, status, success, material possessions. It all looks good on the outside, but underneath it's weighing them down. Underneath it becomes a burden as they try to keep up appearances. But Jesus says this morning that all of you who are burdened, all of you who are being weighed down, all of you who are being made weary, all of you who are sick and tired of the way things are right now, Jesus is saying, come. Come to me. Come in the midst of your burdens. Come to me in the midst of your being weighed down. Come to me in the midst of your weariness, and I will give you rest. Why don't people come? Jesus says this morning that we can come to him because he is gentle and humble in heart. Now, if I were advising Jesus at this juncture, I would say, tell him, you know, Jesus, you're doing well. No, continue with what you're saying. People like comfort. People like consolation. People like it when you remind them that you are there to comfort them and console them in the midst of their burdens. But for God's sakes, don't say anything about being gentle and humble. That's not the kind of Savior that we are looking for today. That's not the kind of Savior that people want. When we look for Saviors today, we're not looking for the gentle and the humble. What people are looking for today are the loud and the arrogant and the brash. Isn't that the kind of Savior that's popular today? Isn't that the kind of Savior that many of us want? Today, the loud and the arrogant. But Jesus, remember, is telling us something about salvation. He's telling us something about God. He is telling us something about what it means to find rest. The world has its way of finding salvation, and God has God's way of finding salvation. And Jesus is saying this morning that if you want rest, if you want genuine rest, if you want the kind of rest that will soothe your soul, if you want the kind of rest that will refresh you, then come. Come to me. Come to me, and I will give you the rest that you need. Why is it that so few people come? Jesus this morning invites us not only to come to him, but he also invites us to take on his yoke. I confess, for a long time, I didn't know what a yoke was. You know, I remember reciting this passage every Sunday as a boy growing up in the King James Version, you know, "Come unto me, all you who are laden and heavy, who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me." Yoke, what's a yoke? But of course, we know what a yoke is now. Perhaps a yoke is that instrument that holds livestock in harness so that they can drag a plow through mud without departing from the straight and narrow course. Several years ago, when I first came to Pennsylvania, someone took me to Lancaster, PA, and I had an opportunity to see a farmer, an Amish farmer. He was plowing his field, not with the tractor, but with an ox. And around the neck of the ox was a yoke that helped keep the ox on the straight and narrow. So the ox was treading, and then the farmer was treading, and they were trying to keep things straight on the straight and narrow, and it looked like a lot of hard work to me, hard work both for the farmer and for the ox. But Jesus says something this morning that is quite remarkable. Jesus says that his yoke is easy. "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy," he says. And of course, when we hear the word easy, what comes to mind is something that can be done effortlessly, something that doesn't require a whole lot of exertion, something that can be done in a snap, something that's easy. But of course, all of us know that, all of us who know Jesus, and I assume that's all of us here this morning, all of us who know Jesus, we know that's not true. We know it's not true because we have heard Jesus preach. We have heard Jesus teach. We've observed the way Jesus lives his life, and we know that there's nothing easy about it, don't we? Jesus teaches and preaches and does some things that are downright difficult, that are downright hard. He says things like, "Turn the other cheek." Isn't that hard? You find that difficult or hard? He says things like, "Love your enemies." He says things like, "Forgive not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. He says things like, "Deny yourself and pick up your cross." And Jesus doesn't just say it like some of us preachers do. He doesn't just preach it. He doesn't just teach it. But Jesus actually lived it out. And none of that sounds terribly easy to me. In fact, the word easy is a bit of a bad translation of the Greek word. The Greek word for easy is Christos, kind of like Christos. And some translations actually read, "My yoke is good to bear." And many other translations of that word in the New Testament, it means something like good. Like this is the right kind of yoke. It's the yoke that fits. Jesus is saying that his yoke is the one that tells us something about the nature and character of God. His yoke is the yoke that tells us something about what it means to be human beings made in the image of God. His yoke is the yoke that tells us something about the nature of reality itself. William Willimon says that Jesus is a window into the way things really are, all the way down deep. It's our way of acknowledging our understanding that the world was really put together with loving forgiveness at its core. That's not something that any of us can, of course, can figure out on our own. That at the center of reality, that the nature of reality is the reality of God's self-giving love. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. His yoke of compassion. His yoke of love. His yoke of self-giving. Take that yoke upon you. And it will give you rest. That's nothing, of course, that we can figure out on our own. But as Jesus reminds us, it's something that has to be revealed to us, revealed by the Lord Jesus himself. It's something that is hidden, Jesus says. It's hidden from those in the world who think they have things all figured out. It's hidden from the strong and the intelligent. It's hidden from the so-called masters of the world. It's something that is only revealed to the little ones, something that is only revealed to those who are willing to be vulnerable, something that is hidden to everyone except those who know that what they need is God's rest. Several years ago, I remember Howard showed the youth and showed all of us, really. There was a little film called Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan's. It was an adaptation of John Bunyan's little book, Pilgrim's Progress, which is a 16th century allegory about the Christian life. A young man named Christian who embarks on a journey to the celestial city, and along the way, he meets a lot of interesting characters who try to help him to get to the celestial city. But of course, his journeys are hampered by the fact that he has to carry this great big burden on his back. A burden that is symbolic of all of his sins and all of his shortcomings. We can only guess what some of those burdens might be, because we see some of those burdens in our own society. Maybe indeed in our own life, but Christian carries these burdens with him as he makes his way to the celestial city. And he carries the burdens all the way until he gets to the foot of the cross. And it is at the cross where the burden begins to unravel, and there it falls off of his back and rolls down to the ground and tumbles down into a grave where it is buried. And suddenly Christian is freed. He is freed from his burden, and he begins to enjoy the peace and the rest of God. The cross, of course, is the perfect symbol of that. It is the perfect symbol of self-giving love. It is at the cross where the Lord takes upon himself the weight of all of our sins, the weight of all of our shortcomings, the weight of all of our burdens. It is at the cross where the Lord takes upon himself all that worries us. Jesus takes them upon himself once and for all. And it is the Jesus who hung upon the cross who says to each and every one of us to come. Come to me. He says, come to me because I want you to rest. If you want to rest, come to me. If you want peace, come to me. If you want to be free from the burdens of this world, come to me, because I am the one, I am the only one who can give you what you need. And that is the kind of rest that refreshes your soul. That is what we are called to be here this morning. We are here this morning because we are people who have found that rest. We are people who no longer have to be burdened by what has burdened the rest of the world. We no longer have to be defined by the burdens of the world. We no longer have to be defined by anger. We no longer have to be defined by fear. We no longer have to be defined by what other people want us to be. We no longer have to be defined by our sense of self-righteousness. We not only have to be defined by a sense of superiority over others. We are the people who have found rest in the God who loves us, and the God who loves the whole world. Jesus says, here is my yoke. Here is my yoke for you. Here is the yoke I want each and every one of you to wear. Here is the yoke that will keep you on the straight and narrow. Here is the yoke that will guide you. Here is the yoke that will help you live into the reality of a loving God. Take that yoke upon yourself. Wear it. Because it is the yoke of life and rest. It was Augustine who said that we will not know rest until we find our rest in the Lord. And so, friends, may we forever experience his rest and love and peace and refreshment for all of our souls. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for all the ways that you have reminded us of your steadfast love for each and every one of us. We thank you for all the ways you have given us what we need to be your people. We thank you for all the ways that you have refreshed our lives in the midst of a topsy-turvy world that seeks so desperately to weigh us down with things that the world believes are important. But Lord, help us to be your restful people. Help us to be your people of self-giving love, so that we might continue to be the light that you have called us to be in the midst of this community, in the midst of our nation, and indeed, in the midst of this world. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.